Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last broadcast, we began to look at the account of Moses as it is written in the Bible, as he wrote it by his own hand, as he was guided by the Holy Spirit a good 3,500 years ago. We learned that Muhammad was confused. He does not know the difference between miracles and plagues. He actually believes they are one of the same. Let me remind you again quickly of that which is written in the Quran about the miracles of Moses. First of all, in Quran chapter 14, verse 5, we learn that Moses was sent by Allah with signs. To know how many of these, we go to Quran chapter 17. In verse 101, we learn that there were 9 signs. Now we ask the question, what are these miracles? Well, we know for sure, according to the confused Muslim scholars, that in Quran chapter 7, verse 107, the first miracle Moses received from Allah to give to Pharaoh and his people was his rod, which he threw on the ground, and it turned into a snake. But we learn from Exodus that Moses did not perform that miracle before Pharaoh, but before his people, that they may believe that he was sent by God. The rod which was used before Pharaoh, it was the rod of Aaron, and it was not one of the 9 plagues, as Muhammad erroneously claimed in the Quran. Now, the second miracle, according to the Quran, it is in Quran chapter 7 and verse 108, and that is the white hand of Moses. Once again, that was not one of the 9 plagues, as Muhammad claimed the number to be 9, not 10. And Moses did not do that sign at all before Pharaoh. But once again, he did it before the children of Israel. Now let me read to you the other signs which Muhammad mentioned in the Quran, and that is as it is written in Quran chapter 7 and verse 133. As Allah stated, so we, that is Allah, sent on them here is Pharaoh and his people, the flood, and the locust, and the lice, and the frogs, and the blood, expounded signs, so they became proud, and they were criminal people. I'm sorry, I do not know how can these 5 words mentioned in that ambiguous verse be expounded signs. There's no way in the world any Muslim, scholar or not, can explain to me what does Allah mean by what he said. First of all, the flood was not in Moses' time, but it was in Noah's time. So obviously Muhammad was confused between Moses' account and Noah's account, and he thought since Pharaoh drowned and his people, then they have to be drowned in the flood. And because of that, Muslim scholars come to the conclusion that the Egyptian drowned and the Hebrews actually took over the land of Egypt, not the promised land. Somehow Muhammad changed the story of Moses to make his mission about to kick the Egyptian out of the land of Egypt. Then Moses and his people inherited the land of Egypt. I'm sorry, this is so foolish. That's how terrible is the writings of the Quran. Now, when Allah said, and the locust, what about the locust? What was the story about the locust? How did Allah send on the Egyptian the locust? I know that some people like to eat locust. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist used to eat locust. Is that what Allah did? He just sent locust on the Egyptians so they can enjoy some free meals? How about the next one? And the lice. What about the lice? How did Allah send the lice? What did the Egyptian do with the lice? And the frogs. Once again, I am one of the people who love to eat frog legs. Did Allah send frogs on the Egyptians so they can enjoy fixing some good fried frog legs? And the blood. What about the blood? Did somebody wound somebody and they start bleeding?
I mean,
what are the stories behind these words?
And Allah is telling me that these were expounded signs? But all what we know, here we go. Five of the nine signs which Allah told us in the Quran, He gave to Moses. Moses came with signs and somehow people did not believe it. No, once again, let me correct the record.
All the children of Israel believed in Moses.
2 million plus, and that's why they left Egypt and they went with Moses to the promised land. Add to that, in Quran chapter 7 and verse 126, we learn that the sorcerers, these are the magician of Pharaoh, believed in Allah. They actually became Muslims. Now we must ask the question, did Pharaoh drown or did Allah save Pharaoh? That is a very important question because believe it or not, according to the Quran, yes, Pharaoh drowned. And also according to the Quran, yes, Pharaoh was saved and he became a Muslim believer. Throughout the Quran, we read about the Egyptian drowned and Pharaoh and his people drowned, as it is written in Quran chapter 7 verse 136, Quran chapter 2 and verse 50, Quran chapter 8 and verse 54, and Quran chapter 17 and verse 103. But let me share with you a couple contradictory verses. For example, in Quran chapter 10 and verse 90, we read that Pharaoh did not drown and he became a Muslim believer. As we read, and we brought the children of Israel through the sea, so Pharaoh and his host followed them insolently and with enmity until when he, that is Pharaoh, was about to drown, he, that is Pharaoh, said, I believed that there is no God but him on whom the children of Israel believed, and I am of the Muslims. This is a very clear verse. Anybody can read it in the Arabic language or in the English language and will discover without any doubt, Pharaoh believed and Pharaoh became a Muslim. Then in verse 92, we read, so today we will deliver you with your body that you may become a sign to those who come after you. And surely most people are unaware of our signs. Here we see a miracle in the end of the story of Moses and the children of Israel in Egypt. As Pharaoh was delivered and Allah saved his body to be a sign for the people who will come after him. So now let's look at another verse where he did drown as an infidel. For example, in Quran chapter 28 and verse 40, we read, so we, that is Allah, seized him, that is Pharaoh, and his troops. So we cast them into the sea. So see how was the end of the unjust. That is the end of the infidel. That is the destruction of Pharaoh by drowning. Now let us examine the biblical account. Quickly, I will share with you that yes, Moses performed great miracles. And if we will do a study on the miracles of Moses, it will take a long time to study. But quickly, let me share with you, first of all, the 9 plagues which Muhammad mentioned in the Quran were the wrong number because they were 10. Also, Muhammad only mentioned 7 of them. 3 were wrong because neither the rod which turned to snake nor the white hand of Moses or the flood have anything to do with the plagues which God sent on the Egyptian. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 7, Aaron threw his rod before Pharaoh and it became a snake. And that is not one of the plagues. That was simply a miracle performed by the rod of Aaron, which have nothing to do with the rod of Moses. Obviously, we know that the sorcerers did the same thing, but the snake of Aaron ate all the snakes of the Egyptian sorcerers. As for the plagues, which only affected the Egyptians, not the Hebrews at all. The first one we learn about in the book of Exodus chapter 7, beginning from verse 14, and that is the change of water into blood. The second plague was the plague of the frogs. And that is what we read in the book of Exodus chapter 8, beginning from verse 1. As for the third plague, it is what we read in chapter 8 of the book of Exodus, beginning from verse 16. It is the plague of the lice.
As for the plague of the flies, we read about in Exodus chapter 8, beginning from verse 20.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
And if we go together to Exodus chapter 9, beginning from verse 1, we read about the plague on the livestock, which is plague number 5. As for the sixth plague, it is the plague of the boils, which we read about in Exodus chapter 9, beginning from verse 8. As for the plague of the hail and fire, and that is what we read beginning from verse 13 to the end of Exodus chapter 9. As for the eighth plague, it is the plague of the locust, which we read about in Exodus chapter 10, beginning from verse 1. As for the ninth plague, it is the plague of the darkness. And that is what we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 10, beginning from verse 21. As for the tenth and the last plague, it is the plague of the death of the firstborn of humans and animals, which hit the Egyptians so hard. And that is when the Egyptian people begged the children of Israel to leave Egypt. And when they left, they took with them plenty of treasure and supplies from the Egyptians. These are the 10 plagues. These are not miracles, as the Quran erroneously mentioned. Notice, when we read the Bible, Moses did not just list these plagues. No, he gave us the details. He first will go to Pharaoh. He will tell Pharaoh, let my people go, meaning that they want to leave Egypt to go to the promised land. Then Pharaoh will say no. Then Moses will say, tomorrow, this is exactly what will happen. So Moses was prophesying to Pharaoh about what is coming on the Egyptian, which will not touch the children of Israel. And it's exactly as Moses said, it happened. And that's when Pharaoh cried out to Moses, telling him if he remove the plague, he will let the children of Israel go. And after Moses pray and stop the plague, then Pharaoh will change his mind and he will harden his heart. And that is when the next plague will come on the Egyptian, exactly as we have seen in the first, until the plague of the darkness. And that is when Pharaoh told Moses, don't see my face anymore. And obviously that was the end. Pharaoh never saw Moses again. You know why? Because he drowned. Here is what happened in the Bible. After the children of Israel offered the Passover sacrifice, which Muhammad, I believe on purpose, did not mention in the Quran. That is when the children of Israel took the blood of the lamb and put it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of all the Hebrews' houses. And when the angel of the Lord came, he killed all the firstborn of animals and of human, in the Egyptian homes, but when he saw the blood on the Hebrews' homes, he passed without killing any of the firstborn. Now, in Exodus chapter 14, we learn about Pharaoh who heard from his people that the Israelites have left Egypt for good. Pharaoh rode on his chariot to follow them, and he took with him 600 chosen chariots of the Egyptians to bring Moses and his people back to Egypt. When the children of Israel saw Pharaoh behind them with all these chariots and the Red Sea in front of them, they cry out, telling Moses, "Is it not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness?'" And obviously that is when Moses told his people, "Do not be afraid and see the salvation of the Lord." Moses lifted up his rod and stretched it over the sea. And that's when God performed a miracle. That is what we call miracle. As they all crossed the Red Sea all night long, and they walked on dry land, and the water was like a wall on their right hand and on their left hand, and the Egyptians followed them, Pharaoh and all his chariots, until the midst of the Red Sea. And early in the morning, as the chariots of the Egyptians were losing its wheels, the Egyptians discovered that they must escape from Israel, because they know that the Lord was fighting the Egyptians on their behalf. That's when God asked Moses to stretch once again his rod on the sea, and the water returned, and Pharaoh and all the 600 chariots which followed him, all of them drowned in the sea. You can read the entirety of that account in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Something neither Allah nor Jibreel nor Muhammad nor any Muslim scholar have a clue, because obviously this information was never written in the Quran. Someone would say, "Is this all the miracles which Moses performed in the Bible?" No, my friends. The life as a ministry of Moses is filled with miracles. Let me share with you some of them. For example, in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, after the crossing of the Red Sea, beginning in verse 22, we read, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he," that is Moses, "cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he," that is God, "made a statute and an ordinance for them." Them here are the children of Israel. "And there he tested them." This is one miracle. Why do we call that a miracle? Because it is a miraculous work. It is God shows his might by throwing a tree into a bitter water. That will not make it fresh. But because God said it and Moses believed it and he did it, the children of Israel ended having fresh water. As we move on to Exodus chapter 16, we learn that the children of Israel complained to Moses again. This time because they were hungry. And the Lord performed one more miracle, and that miracle lasted many, many years. That is when God made the quail to come to the camp by night and the manna to be found on the face of the earth by morning. And that's what the children of Israel ate until they came to the promised land. After that, twice the children of Israel complained to Moses about water, and he was able to perform a miracle and bring them water from the rock. The first one, he actually struck the rock with his rod, as God told him to do so,
which we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning from verse 1 until verse 7. The second time, that is when Moses sinned against God. Why? Because God asked Moses to speak to the rock, but sadly, he sinned against God by striking the rock twice instead of speaking to it. And we read about that in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and in verse 11. And the punishment for his disobedience to God, as it is written in verse 12, that neither him nor his brother Aaron will be able to enter to the promised land. And the life of Moses, continually as he led the children of Israel in the wilderness until he died, is filled with many other miracles. And we encourage you to go back to the Bible and read the first five books of the Bible, the book of the Torah, to learn about the great ministry of Moses. I know, my dear Muslim friends, you believe that you know Moses and you believe in the Torah of Moses, but you do not know Moses nor his book, the book of the Torah. So please go back and read such great books. Just for Moses to pin to us all that which we have learned about the Old Testament in the Torah, beginning from the creation until the end of the book of Deuteronomy. That itself is, in my personal opinion, a miracle, because it is the true word of God penned by the hand of Moses as he was led by the Holy Spirit. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.